Off with the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. The Green Country Gardener is brought to you by Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, United Rentals, Overlees Woods Lumber Company, ABS Performance, LPL Painting Company, also Gross Fine Woodworks. Sharpen your shovels. It's time for the Green Country Gardener.
Thank you, Tom, for that introduction. I'm Garrett Giles, the Double G. Joining us is Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb. Larry, how the heck are you this morning?
Just fine.
Good.
It was a monumental week this week.
Yeah.
I broke my shovel.
You broke your shovel? Did you not keep it sharp?
It was sharp.
It was sharp? Too sharp.
But the soil was a little heavy in it, and it broke.
Man, what happens now? What are you going to do? Buy a new one?
It's one of them lifetime ones. Ah. And the supplier, instead of having a fiberglass handle, now it's solid steel.
Heck yeah.
He said, you can't break this one. I said, try me.
Yeah. You don't know how sharp I can get.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah, well, something like that gets, in my line of work, gets a lot of use. So.
Right.
But anyway, so I haven't sharpened my new one yet. That's going to happen today. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a beautiful day for it, too, I think.
Not, it's not quite ready yet.
So. Not quite ready.
It's been a little cold, so.
Right, right.
But anyway, golly, we've had some interesting weather lately of warm and cool and cold and wet and wet and wet and wet.
Yeah.
It's a little difficult to do some work right now. Mm-hmm. And also, because of that, some of the trees are starting to get a little bud swell on them. Mm-hmm. Here it is at the end of January, almost.
Pretty close. We got about a week left.
Today is the 25th. That's pretty
like
close to the end.
Yeah.
6 days ago. And next week, it'll be February.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's nuts.
Time is going along.
2020
and actually, that kind of marks the time when the maple trees start to grow. And the birch trees are starting to do their thing also. And if you haven't trimmed them yet, remember way back in December, we talked about cutting back. If you want to trim back your maples and your birch trees, do so.
Right.
Well, it's not too late. They'll just bleed everywhere.
Right.
And actually, some of the oak trees are starting to show a little bud swell, too, which is unusual for this time of year. We haven't really had we're not into our snow season yet.
Right.
Typically, February is when we get our bigger snows.
Right.
It's because the weather patterns change. We get colder coming down and some Gulf moisture coming up, and they collide. And if the weather's right, we have a good amount of snow.
Right.
Snow's a good thing because it melts slowly and the water goes into the ground.
Which really helps the maples?
Well, it helps everything, really. The ground isn't really dry right now. However, we were doing a project, and they had to lay a new water line. And as they were digging it up, the shale down deep below was dry.
Huh.
Yeah.
How far below was it?
Exactly. That's what everybody else said. Huh. 2 feet.
2 feet.
Two feet deep. Of course, shale is a very, almost an impenetrable layer. And it was on a hill, so that probably explains why that particular area was kind of dry. You go down the road 300 feet, and there's water oozing out of the ground from the moisture. So you never know.
Right.
So the water kind of glides across this shale and then falls over the edge of the cliff, and we were walking around looking for some specimen rocks on this property. Water was just kind of exuding from the ground. So the moisture levels are good, right now,
except
below the shale layers.
Right.
I'm glad he didn't go any deeper. He probably hit oil, and that would have put a big mess in everything. But
pretty rich.
You never know.
You start getting barrels and loading up with the oil, right?
Well, you can't grow plants and crude oil.
That's fair. You can't do that, but at least you'll have oil.
So anyway, so the ground moisture is good right now, and some of the trees are exhibiting that, and the days are getting noticeably longer, too. And so they're saying, well, it's time to wake up a little bit.
Right.
So we're going to start seeing some action happening here. So spring is on its way, people.
It's exciting.
And also, in light of that, the spring weeds are starting to sprout.
How do we take control of that?
I noticed my hen bits coming up around the mailbox in front of the house. And so,
you got to fight it.
Yeah, it's a favorite dog place, too, but the weeds really love it. So anyway, so with as warm as it's going to be today, you can probably have some luck applying Roundup to the winter weeds in your Bermuda grass right now. Don't do it in your fescue grass. We'll get into grass a little bit later. But don't do it in your fescue grass because it's kind of actively alive right now.
Mm-hmm.
whereas the other grass is somewhat dormant. The zoysia and the Bermuda grass, the other two species that are popular and common around here, they're dormant at this point, and you can use a post-emergent herbicide, such as the Roundup, through it to control those waskily winter weeds. So,
I like that. That was good.
and they can be very persistent, too, very tough.
Were you channeling your inner Elmer Fudd there? I think that was Elmer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to go back to my childhood with the cartoons. I couldn't remember.
Waskily winter weeds, yes.
You mentioned Roundup for the weeds. Is there anything else that people can use, or is it just specifically
Roundup? There are broadleaf herbicides you can use also. The broadleaf ones will work also, but the temperature is a bit of a factor in that. So it kind of goes through. It really doesn't work that well sometimes. The temperature has to be up. Kind of the same thing with Roundup, but Roundup kind of stays in the plant a little bit better.
Right.
And how warm is it supposed to get today anyway? It's 30 degrees right now.
Yeah, it's 30 right now. I think it's supposed to be 49, and then...
Well, that's not warm enough.
Tomorrow's going to be 56, so...
That's getting really, really close.
And then on Monday, it's going to be almost 60.
So there you go.
So that's about the day.
So say the weather's... Monday will be just right for that. Right. So
maybe when you get off of work or something, if it's not too dark out, people can go out and do that, or in the morning before.
When I go to work, the headlights are on. When I go home, the headlights are on.
Tis the season for that, right?
I guess so. Anyway, so spring weeds, they're all starting to sprout, so keep an eye on those. It's too late to put a pre-emergent down for the spring weeds. It should have been done in September, October. But be able to use post-emergent controls of them, actually, at this point also. Okay. So it's just the Roundup and the 240. We have a product that basically does it all. It has a pre-emergent and a post-emergent in it. There's a weed and feed we carry that works very well to control these waskily weeds. Mm-hmm. So think about that, too. I don't know if I do it right now. I'll probably wait about a month, really, before when they're more actively growing.
Right.
To control them. But if they're really kind of sprouting out, like the weeds around the mailbox.
Right. If it's noticeable.
Well, that area is warmer. The street's right there. And then there's the sidewalk. So it's incrementally warmer right there. So the weeds tend to grow a little faster in that little zone between the street and the sidewalk. I don't know why builders do that.
Yeah. Don't know what you would call it. We had to come up with a name for that.
I call it the...
The Twilight Zone.
No. The Parkway.
The Parkway.
Yes, the Parkway.
Man, that sounds really fancy. I kind of want to set up a table over there now.
Yeah, when I do my irrigation system, this one irrigates the Parkway. So.
It's awesome. We must go to the Parkway.
Yeah, indeed. So that area is going to show some weeds a little sooner because it is just a little bit warmer from the heating from the road, so on.
Right.
So that's kind of it with the lawns. As far as your beds are concerned, if you've got weeds coming up, you might consider getting a mulch. A mulch is an excellent way to control weeds.
Okay.
A good 2-inch or 3-inch layer. Don't cut corners on your mulch. For it to work properly, you have to put on enough of it.
Okay.
So
how much would you put on?
2 to 3 inches.
2 to 3 inches. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it does a good job controlling weeds and conserving moisture, et cetera, on your... It does maintain a more moisture... A more even percentage of moisture in your soil by adding a mulch to the top.
Okay.
So anyway, put that on there also to help control the weeds. Pre-emergent weed controls in the beds, I would wait another 3-4 weeks before that happens.
Okay, so about a month again when March rolls around.
Because
yeah.
The spring weeds, spring weeds will start to be coming up here in about a month or so. So it's time to be proactive on that and get the materials. And it's kind of important to know how much surface area you have, too. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that later on your lawns and stuff, too. Anyway, going on at the nursery, the cyclamens are showing great color right now. It's a good plant for Valentine's Day. Trees are on sale, 30% off. We planted some big ones this week. So shrubs are on sale, too, here and there. We're planting shrubs and things, too. So we're busy.
Yeah.
At the nursery. I'm keeping very busy. And that leads us to the tree of the week, which is the lace bark elm.
The lace bark elm.
Why would I want to plant an elm tree? Dutch elm disease. Wrong. No, the Ulmus parvifolia does not get the Dutch elm disease. It's the American elm is the one that gets that.
Okay.
So the Chinese elm is not as big a tree as the American elm. It should not be confused, which is with the Siberian elm. But anyway, this is known as the Chinese elm, and it's a totally different species. It was introduced to this country from China, of course. It's a medium-sized tree with a round oval crown. Kind of a moderate growth rate, reaching a height of anywhere from 35 to 40 feet, which is not big for a tree, actually.
Right.
And a crown spread of 30 to 35 feet or so. So it's kind of oval growing plant. It does kind of develop an ISO weeping habit, too, over time, which is, I think, really quite attractive.
Yeah.
And the good thing about this tree is, Ulmus parvifolia, or the true Chinese elm, is in the summertime when it's really hot
and the humidity's
high and then you have the bugs that chirp. What do they call them?
Locusts are doing
their wee-you in the background. It's hot dog days. This plant looks really good. It may
despite everything else, it looks pretty good plant.
It maintains its color.
Right.
And its shape and its appearance very well through the heat of the summer.
And it weeps a little bit.
Yeah. Where other trees, your birch trees, are dropping their leaves left and right. People water and hound out of them. And so in this one, you really don't have to worry about. And the maple trees are getting a little crusty around the edge and here and there when it gets really hot in the summer. This tree maintains a really attractive appearance. It's due primarily to a really heavy waxy layer on the leaf, which helps prevent evaporative loss on the leaf. That's why it maintains itself really well. The northern red oak is kind of the same way. It has a kind of a waxy layer on the leaf, so it maintains its appearance real well, as does the water oak and some other things too. So anyway, this one maintains its appearance throughout the summer very effectively. And it's an elm tree, and it has a very extensive root system. And this one has, not like maple trees, which had these big, heavy roots that go everywhere. It's more like a fibrous mass on its root system. Not a whole lot of big, fat trailers coming out. Just a whole bunch of little ones. And because of that, it can absorb more water in the given area.
Right.
So that's probably why it maintains itself real well also. Yeah. And this tree is not an overly large plant, and it doesn't drop trash everywhere, too. So it's a good tree to have.
Yeah, sounds like a good tree.
Uh-huh. It's tough. It can withstand the rigors of harsh climates, poor soil, which we have
here in Oklahoma. Yeah.
And it's also very popular in the streetscapes.
Okay.
Now, if you've done some work out in the landscape street trees, there's a cutout in the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, the only soil that's available is in that little cutout. It's the one of these trees can live in a street tree situation. There's just nothing down there. You've got pipes down below, and those are backfilled with gravel and sand and stuff. And then you've got the compacted gravel and stuff underneath the sidewalk around it.
Right.
And very little water percolation. When it rains, it all just runs off. It only gets absorbed in that little area. So a street tree, per se, has to be very tough.
Right.
And this one fits that category very well. It does. It's just kind of happy.
So it
grow anywhere.
Thrives in the City Parkway?
Parkway, right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So fall color is variable on this one, from yellowish to reddish purple, and even in the warmer climate. So it does have a little bit of color on it in the fall. Usually in the fall here, it's just what happened this year. It gets like 40 below zero or something, and everything just kind of doesn't turn color, just falls off, you know. So
right.
I'm just exaggerating, say that no, our climate is so variable that a lot of times we don't have good fall color on elm trees in the fall.
Right.
So I like to use this also in the yard. It makes a good west side of the house kind of tree because it doesn't get so large. It doesn't have these huge branches that cantilever way out that could break and hit the house at some point in time.
Right.
So it's a good one to have for that too. So. Good plant. It's not one of the best ones to have, but it's a good tree to have around because of that.
And the name, one more time, for this elm is
Chinese
called?
Chinese elm.
Chinese elm.
There's some variations of the Chinese elm, different colors. There's the bosque elm, and then there's the just different names of different elms. But basically, the Ulmus parvifolia, which is the Chinese elm, is the one you kind of want to look for in a street tree or lawn specimen tree, or good for screening, mid-level screening, and so on like that. Just something that's shady that has a nice appearance throughout the year.
And you were talking about it doesn't thrive as well in Oklahoma. Do you guys have any on sale, the Green Thumb Nursery?
We have some real nice examples at the nursery. Some 5 gallons, 10s, and 30-gallon trees.
Okay, awesome.
30-gallon trees are already big. That's the awesome. Neighbors won't laugh at you when you plant it.
So you hope.
They say, wow, geez, he's got the escalator of plants out there. The tree is a big thing, you know.
Right.
No, it's a good, it's a good. And really, if you plant a smaller one, it doesn't take long for it to get large. Mm-hmm. So they grow fairly quickly.
Awesome. Well, we're talking with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, for the Green Country Gardener this morning. We're just talking about the Chinese elm and some preventative ways that you can avoid some weed problems that you might have in this early phase before we get to spring. And we're going to continue with the Green Country Gardener here after this break.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages. And you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-95.
Did you know that Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants? It's cold out, but you can keep your house looking warm on the inside with tropical plants from Green Thumb. They have the best selection of tropicals to choose from, and they have trees and shrubs on sale to add to your landscape. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Friday and Saturday 9 to 4. Closed Sunday through Thursday for winter hours.
Make your home stand out from the rest with a new look that Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling can give you. They're contractors that offer bathroom and kitchen remodeling, trim carpentry, custom cabinetry, and hardwood refinishers. Voted best custom cabinetry of 2018 and offering veteran, firefighter, and law enforcement discounts. That's Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling. Call today for your free estimate, 918-214-6348.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
And you're listening to the Green Thumb Gardener right here on the radio airwaves on this Saturday morning. Hopefully everything is going well with you. The numbers to call if you have any questions for Larry Glass, the Green Country Gardener, it's 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, if you want to talk to Larry Glass this morning about your gardening questions or maybe what's going on in the lawn, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry, we've talked about quite a bit of things this morning. What else have we got?
The shrub of the week today would be the dwarf yaupon holly.
Okay.
It's a kind of a workhorse in the landscape. You can do about anything you want with this plant. Well, maybe take it out to dinner, maybe.
not in the landscape, though, right?
Yeah, right. The botanical name for this particular species of holly is Ilex vomitoria nana.
Okay.
The dwarf yaupon holly. It gets that rather offensive species from... what can happen if you ingest too much of it? So, don't eat this plant.
Just make you sick. Say, when you said ingest, I'm like, do people actually eat this plant?
actually, it was... anyway, it's unsavory name was given to a very nice and useful plant. The earlier settlers in the southeastern United States learned from the Indians that the leaves of this plant could be used to make tea. And the Indians use the leaves to prepare their ceremonial black drink by drying the leaves until they are dark black and crumbly and then steeping in hot water. However, if the leaves are used without going through the dry process, they produce a memorable reaction to the human digestive system.
Yeah, so maybe avoid digesting.
You don't want to eat these plants. Mm-hmm. These leaves, they will make you kind of sick. So anyway, it's the botanical name is Ilex vomitoria, and it's one of the 11 hollies native to Florida.
Oh.
It's native to the United States. Now, the Yaupon holly is a popular plant. People plant this 20 by 20 foot plant at the corner of their house or somewhere, and it grows huge. And
right.
You have to cut it back, and it grows big again. So anyway, the dwarf Yaupon holly, however, is used as a popular foundation planting. I like to use it in areas where you want something fairly low. It can get, if you don't trim it at all, it can get up to 6 feet tall.
Oh, goodness.
Now, the Bordeaux variety tends to be more compact and so on. And there's another one that's a very, very small dwarf. The Micron dwarf Yaupon holly is very small. Mm-hmm. Stays rather small, too. But anyway, this plant responds, and I've had good luck with it, just in the spring. Get the electric hedge clippers and just
go to town.
Give it a burr cut. Now, that happens in the middle of February, which is coming up real quick, or the end of February or so. You want to do this before it starts to grow. And you want to shorten the time between when you cut it and when it starts to grow. And typically that's the middle or the third quarter in February or so, and into March sometimes, depending on the weather. So that's a variability on all these plant things.
Right.
So anyway, I keep mine up. I got some at my house that are over 30 years old. They've been there. We moved in 14 years ago, and they were there 15 years before that. And they're still there, and they're only knee high. And I cut them flat down every spring, and they come back, and they look really nice, and they stay small.
Right.
And a customer of mine had his windows redone one time, and he had dwarf Yaupon hollies. And we were asked to come cut them back so they can install the windows. So we cut them down where they look like these hands uplifted in and just nothing there. And they leafed out again and came back again. So it's a very resilient plant as far as that is concerned. So if it gets too big, don't hesitate to just cut it back.
Right.
Because it will come back rather nicely, actually. Mm-hmm. So it grows in our soil rather well. It's very tolerant to different soil conditions. We went to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina a few years ago.
Okay.
And saw the Wright Brothers Memorial.
Yes.
And what was I doing?
What were you doing?
Looking at the plants.
Looking at the plants.
And there were some Yaupon hollies growing wild off in the distance over there. And I walked over to them. And it's interesting how they grew in response to the ocean air, the breezes. They grew way back, kind of one area back then. And they kind of swayed.
Like in the ocean, they were
swayed in the breeze. They kind of grew backwards towards the land as a result of the constant beach wind from the ocean. And they were really kind of nice, beautiful plants. And said, these are Yaupon hollies. So it's a kind of a tough environment, too, kind of salty and so on. So they grow real well in that. So they do really well here, too.
Right. And you said they're native to Florida, right? So I can only imagine they would probably look the same down
Florida,
there.
Florida, Alabama, there's some. And Alabama, Mississippi, is we drive through there to go to Florida. I know.
Right.
Well, when the wife is driving, I look at the plants.
All of the plants.
All the sweet gums and tulip poplars and things and Yaupon hollies.
Yeah.
I said, look, there's a Yaupon holly. Look at that thing. It's beautiful. This thing's
checking
huge.
This event. She's probably like, yes, honey, I know.
Yes, I know.
I bet she enjoys it, too. I've seen her at the nursery once or twice.
Yeah. So. Anyway. So this one does very well here. However, in the wintertime, it does occasionally have some problems. If we have a lot of dry weather associated with the cold, it can suffer. And usually it's just a setback. You cut it back again, it'll come back without any problems. I really haven't had any of them just die completely from the cold, just setback. And it's strange how it just dies in little places here. They're not the whole plant.
Right.
And it comes back within a year, and it looks fine. So,
huh.
This plant, because of its ease of growth and its ability to recover from heavy pruning, makes it a pretty good plant. I like to add some iron sulfate to the soil. It makes it a deeper green color. By nature, it has kind of an olive green color, and it can develop a rather glossy leaf with a dark green color with some extra iron to the soil.
Okay.
So that helps a whole lot in its appearance also. And
would you mulch around it too?
Oh, yeah. Always to keep the weeds around away from it. But it does tolerate some dryness pretty well.
Okay.
Because of our latitude over here, if it gets cold in association with that winter dryness, it can die back. So,
okay.
So be careful in the wintertime. Mulch it, in other words.
Yeah, especially now.
But it's a good, long-lasting plant. Mm-hmm. We've got some that are older than some of my employees. At
oh, my goodness.
They're older than you in front of my house. And it's doing very well.
I mean, I'm only 24, so.
Okay, they're older than you are. So.
Goodness gracious.
Anyway, so that's a good plant. It does not like to remain dry for a long period of time.
Yeah.
So that's another thing, too. So it's it does have a little, as far as pests are concerned,
right.
The only one it has is a really leaf miner, and there's a little caterpillar that'll come in and kind of chew on a little bit in the spring, but that generation soon grows up into whatever they grow up into.
Right.
And it's a short-term problem, and it grows around it.
Okay.
So that's the only real pest it has. It's a very pest-free plant. You don't see scale on it. You don't see mites.
Bores, maybe.
No bores or anything like that, no. So it's a pretty good plant to have around just for that.
It's awesome.
So it's another workhorse in the landscape. Those and the Nandinas, the dwarf Nandinas, all those different varieties of Nandinas and the dwarf Yopons together make good plants that are very carefree, very pest-free.
Right.
And very, very easy to grow, very manageable, too. You can do anything, cutting it back in any shape you want, too.
Okay.
So good plants.
The dwarf Nandinas, would you add iron sulfate to those as well?
No.
Too? Okay.
You don't do anything to them. You
just let them go.
Just let them go. You run over them with your truck in the spring.
Sorry, I just had a mental image in my head.
And they
there
come
for a
back.
Minute.
No, they're the dwarf Nandinas are tough plants.
Right.
No pests or anything to deal with. So the only thing to get some is a really, really cold spell in the winter, but they pop back up too. So good plants to have.
That's cool. We're talking with Larry Glass, the man with the animal thumb, on the Green Country Gardener Show on this Saturday morning. We're going to take a quick break. It's 8:35. We'll be right back with more of the program. We'll list the numbers that you could call if you have any questions for Larry.
Hi, this is Brian Ballard with Broman Chevrolet Buick in beautiful Independence, Kansas. We have a fantastic selection of new and used vehicles, including GM certified. Just head north and watch your prices go south at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas. At Broman Chevrolet Buick, you do not have to pay extra taxes. You only pay in Oklahoma where you live. We will treat you the way you want to be treated at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas, where we're making car buying fun again. You can reach us at 620-331-4700 or 24/7 online at RomansGM.com.
Come support St. John Catholic School's annual gala Saturday evening, February 1st, 6 p.m. at St. John's School. Tickets are $75 per person, and you'll enjoy hors d'oeuvres, games, dinner, a live auction, and dancing to John the Blessed Band with the cash bar available. Try your chance to win your choice of three destinations: Disney World Family Adventure, Cabo San Lucas, or Napa Valley Resort and Railway Trip. Raffle tickets are $10 or six tickets for $50. For details, search online at St. John Bartlesville Auction or visit our Facebook page, SJCS Bartlesville.
Enjoy these bargains of the month from Peter's True Value in Dewey. Treat your dog with a meaty taste of Alpo dry dog food, just $19.99 per 47-pound bag. Replace your furnace filter with 3M Filtreat Allergen Defense Filters in various sizes for $9.99 each. And stock up on batteries now. Get a 16-pack of Duracell double or AAA batteries, $11.99 each. Your choice. Shop Peter's True Value, 1865 North Osage in Dewey, and save with these and more bargains of the month.
Shelley Goolsby with Jericho Tile and Carpet and Stone Outfitters. We think radio is a great way of advertising. If you want superb results, you should use radio too. Radio gets results.
Radio gets results. That's radio. a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in.
And we're back with the Green Country Gardener program on this Saturday morning. Hopefully all is going well with you so far. If you have any questions for Larry Glass about your garden, your lawn, or anything else, feel free to call us, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, if you want to speak with Larry Glass on the Green Country Gardener Program, feel free to call us, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We would love to hear from you this morning. Larry, we kind of touched on this just a little bit earlier in the program when we were talking about weeds, but what else is going on in the lawn? What should people know?
Lawns. The things. People seem to have such a hard time growing, but they can be quite simple.
Right.
Really. So anyway, there's basically three types of grass that we grow here.
Right.
The Bermuda grass is one of them, and it's probably the Bermuda grass originated in tropical Africa,
mm-hmm.
and there are improved strains that have been developed, you know, from this African variety of grass, and it was probably introduced in the United States during the 1700s.
Oh my goodness!
So yeah, all this Bermuda grass just covers, like, you know, paint covers the earth, you know, that old thing. But anyway, it's really grown a lot since the 1700s. In 1751, it was imported into Savannah, Georgia, and Linnaeus named the Bermuda grass Panicum dactylon, and then Christian Hendrik Pearson reclassified the plant as Cynodon dactylon, and it resembles a large crabgrass. Anyway, it's readily distinguished by its abundant stolons and unique ring of white hairs at the base of each leaf blade, and it grows throughout the tropical and subtropical areas of the world from latitude 45 degrees north to latitude 45 degrees south.
Man.
So we're right in that zone right here. So,
okay.
Anyway, it's fairly easy to grow. It does lack a lot of sunshine and likes good drainage. Mm-hmm. And it can tolerate periods of drought. Now, if it gets really, really dry in the summertime, it'll actually go dormant. It'll sort of hang it up and say, forget it.
I'm out.
And then it'll come back when the rains come back, too. So you can keep it watered real well. If you keep it watered fairly well, then it should survive the summer okay. Now, I say water fairly well. That's an inch of water per week.
Right.
Now, this water is best distributed not on a consistent basis, but water, let it dry, water, let it dry, that kind of a thing. So the ground doesn't stay wet. Bermuda grass doesn't stay wet. It gets all kinds of fungus problems and things if the ground stays consistently moist.
Right, which it kind of has been lately.
Now, Bermuda grass, for a good lawn, is fairly hungry, so you need to give it some fertilizer. We'll get into the fertilizer times and all that a little bit later on. But a clear sign of a nitrogen deficiency on Bermuda grass is dollar spot. You get all these little spots. They look like about the size of a silver dollar. So that's how it got its name.
Right.
And that's an indication of a nitrogen deficiency in your grass, too. So it doesn't necessarily need a lot of trace elements in it, such as the iron and the sulfur and so on, but those can render the color a whole lot better if you do use some iron. Iron.
Golly,
iron. in your fertilizer. It helps deepen the color. A little sulfur helps, too, to help deepen that color, to give it almost a bluish-green cast, which is really very attractive.
Right.
You go in some areas, you can tell that the people who have used some iron in their Bermuda grass by the color of the grass and also the color of their sidewalks. Characteristically orange, yeah.
Because of the iron sulfate?
Iron sulfate, yeah. The iron sulfate also adjusts your soil pH, so you want to monitor that fairly closely. If your grass starts to get a little weak and kind of thin, perhaps you've put too much of this on, you might need to put a little lime on the soil. But most of our soil, the parent material, is limestone, so that's generally not a problem, but it can be a problem.
Mm-hmm. And how do you check the pH levels?
Well, you either take a sample to the extension agent, or we can get a soil test kit. We have some at the nursery that check your pH and your NP and K. It'll kind of let you know where you stand on that. So if your grass is doing kind of weak, your Bermuda grass, you might consider having the pH checked or just having a soil analysis done.
Okay.
And that can tell you exactly what you need to do if your grass is kind of thin and balding a little bit too. Another reason for Bermuda grass getting thin and balding is the overapplication of pre-emergent and post-emergent herbicides. A pre-emergent herbicide, in the strictest term of the name, is a soil sterilant. Yeah, and too much of that can cause some problems. So, okay.
What kind of problems?
Death.
Death? Oh, goodness.
It'll kill your lawn if you put too much down. And I've seen this happen, too, when people overapply, the grass just dies. And the funny thing is, though, when the hybrid grass dies out from the over application of herbicides, a lot of times some native or the, quote, generic form of Bermuda grass starts to grow and recover faster than hybrid Bermuda grass. And then you get this lawn of wild Bermuda grass, which isn't that bad, really.
Right.
But anyway, so that's kind of the deal with that. You be very careful with your herbicides, and we'll get into knowing how much to put on your lawn later on here.
Okay. You mentioned Bermuda. There's two other grasses.
Yeah, zoysia grass is another one. Zoysia is also native to Asia, and it's been in the United States since about 1895, around the time lawns first captured the interest of American homeowners. So anyway, it zoysia is a perennial. It comes back year after year when grown in appropriate climates. Zoysia's heat and cold tolerance allow it to flourish in this region where some of the other grasses might fail, such as your fescue and your rye grasses. Okay. Zoysia naturally develops a deep root system.
Okay.
Which isn't too easy because we don't have deep soil. It'll go down, rock. And it's very good at conserving moisture and resisting drought. And during short drought episodes, the grass still remains green. But if the drought and the heat persist, the zoysia will go dormant, but it greens up quickly when it's watered again.
Okay.
So zoysia is another good grass. I like zoysia grass in people's yards because it is easy to manage, and it grows so dense a lot of times that it chokes out the weeds real well, too.
Right.
I've got some zoysia lawns that have been in there since 2000, 20 years or so, even longer than that. They're still doing fine. We did a Matrella zoysia lawn over on Cherokee Place, 1,500 block of Cherokee, and still
thriving,
doing well. And that was in the 80s we did that.
Man.
It's still doing well. That's so anyway, good. So zoysia grass is a good grass. There's several varieties of zoysia grass, too. The zoysia japonica, which is your generic zoysia grass, medium textured grass. It does very well. It spreads not as fast as Bermuda grass, but it does spread. And the interesting thing is, zoysia grass will choke out Bermuda grass. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh.
Competitors.
Yeah, exactly. Very competitive with it. Because it kind of slowly migrates, it does. It will choke it out. And there's been instances where we've done a zoysia lawn next to a Bermuda lawn. Some of these in Colonial we did. Mm-hmm. And the zoysia has crept into the neighbor's yard and gone all the way to the driveway.
Right.
In the 20 years it's been in the ground and has taken over that Bermuda grass.
Huh. How do you, can you perfectly balance them, or was one just take over the other?
Yeah, the zoysia eventually will win out, which is not a bad thing, actually, because it is a superior grass to Bermuda grass.
Okay.
They need typically 1 inch of rainfall of irrigation per week.
Okay.
Just like the Bermuda grass. Right. And deep and frequent watering encourages deep, drought-resistant roots. So, like I said earlier, let it water a dry period, 1 inch of water per week. And if you have an irrigation system, know your rate of precipitation.
Right. And you can
I can come over to your house or whatever, look at the type of hedge you have, mm-hmm. and tell you how much you need to water per week in order to get 1 inch of rain.
Yeah.
In other words, the rotary heads, you have to go about 60 minutes to get 1 inch of rain. And the spray heads, probably 30, even less, sometimes 20 minutes, depending on the configuration. And then you want to take that time and break it up into, say, two to three increments, depending on your slope and your soil type. Mm-hmm. Huh. If you have some slope, you don't want to water to the runoff point because it'll just run out in the street.
Right.
So you might have to run it maybe twice a day in order for it to percolate into the ground and in order to reach your goal of 1 inch a week.
Huh.
And get a rain sensor, too, because it'll shut it off when it rains. It's so easy.
Right.
It can save you more money than the thing costs when you
right.
when you put it in. And the digital timers, too, connect to the weather service and shut her down when it rains or when there's rain forecast. So there's all kinds of cool stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Anyway, we're getting off the line. So anyway, the zoysia grass can benefit from iron sulfate, too. It'll darken the color, but zoysia grass has an olive green color by nature, and it'll darken with iron sulfate. And it can get a fungal rust on it also. Mm-hmm. And when you run your mower through this rusty colored cloud of fungal spores comes up. Well, that's rust. And typically the iron sulfate will stop that also.
Right.
So anyway, this zoysia grass is a good grass to have also. The third one is fescue grass.
Fescue.
Everybody likes that beautiful fescue lawn, but it can be difficult to get.
Right.
And the watering rules have to be followed pretty well. The fertilization rules are a little bit different than Bermuda grass.
Okay.
Is a fescue is a cool season grass. It does its active growing beginning in about 2 weeks. And that continues. I got a little chart here, too, that I made up. And it continues growing until it gets really, really hot. Then it slows down. And you want to take advantage of that and fertilize your fescue grass in March, April, and May.
Okay.
And then stop fertilizing it in June, July, and August. And September, October, November, fertilize it again. With a 16:8:8 fertilizer, something like that. So, the height varies too. The warmer it is, the higher you want your fescue grass to be.
Right.
So, in the summertime, up to 3 inches tall. Yeah.
It's pretty tall for the most part.
Up to, I see. Yeah. 3 inches would be good because it needs that transpiration to help keep it cool. In the wintertime, right about March or so, it can go down to as low as 3/4 of an inch or so. But inch and a half or 1 inch would be the lowest you'd want to go on it. And then you want to raise that mower up from 1 inch to inch and a half to 2 inch to 3 inch in the heat of the summer. And then when fall comes, you can lower it back down again because it does need that extra layer to help it make it through the summer.
Right. Is there anything else you'd like to add about fescue grass?
Fescue grass... It does need a good preparation because it requires a deep root system. If you have a shallow root system from overwatering your grass or having a heavy clay soil, it tends to get a phytophthora fungus because your soil is too heavy and it can't dry out enough. So you need to do some ground prep on the soil first. That is to add some compost and maybe some coarse sand, almost a good garden soil for it to do well here, as deep as you can possibly prepare it. And if you do that, your rewards will be great because it'll be an attractive lawn. And we've done some fescue lawns that way, doing a very deep tilling with some compost and stuff.
Right.
And we did one 10 years ago, and it's still looking good. So once you get it established, you're in good shape.
Awesome. We're talking with Larry Glass, the man with the Emerald Thumb in the Green Country Gardener Program. Just talked about Bermuda, zoysia, and fescue grasses. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
When skies become threatening and severe weather strikes, K1 provides complete coverage. Bartlesville Radio gives up-to-the-minute weather conditions using color radar reports and live on-the-scene reports from the Washington County Emergency Management Team. Our trained weather spotters and meteorologists on KOTV, the news on 6, dedicated to keeping you and your family safe, keep a battery-operated radio close at hand. And when severe weather hits our area, go to a safe place and tune into K1, 1400 and FM 93.3 for all the details. Severe weather coverage is brought to you by Tate Boys Tire, Bartlesville Collision Center, Paul's Record Service, Jericho Tile and Carpet, ConocoPhillips, United Rental, Phillips 66, Randy Lawrence Lawn Care and Maintenance Service, Lucas Metalworks, Stump Funeral Home, and A-Best Roofing. Your safety is our top concern. Count on K1 for the area's most complete weather coverage. Did you know that Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants? It's cold out, but you can keep your house looking warm on the inside with tropical plants from Green Thumb. They have the best selection of tropicals to choose from, and they have trees and shrubs on sale to add to your landscape. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Friday and Saturday 9 to 4. Closed Sunday through Thursday for winter hours.
What do you do when you want to listen to 1400 K1, but you can't because you're out of the area? Listen to our stream on BartlesvilleRadio.com. Just go to our homepage and click on the Listen Now button in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. The 1400 K1 stream is brought to you by Cliffs Flooring and Windows, Cherokee Casino Ramona. Listen on your computer, your smartphone, or other internet-connected device. Whether you're home or away, we're your constant companion. We're 1400 K1.
And we're back with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, on the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Garrett Giles, the Double G, your host. Larry, what's happening at the nursery?
Hey, we've got the cyclamens are showing some color right now. We've got several kinds of houseplants, anthuriums, good houseplants. Got some of those, and some ferns and whatnot. And back in the growing greenhouse, we have a whole sea of geraniums. Okay. And, oh, it's so fun to see the first bloom on the geranium. We always pinch them off, but we let a few of them open up just so we, oh, here it comes.
Geraniums are here.
There they're coming along. So we're also going to start some of our patio garden pots too. Those are we're going to get starting on those pretty soon too. Mm-hmm. So spring is on its way, and it's what 3 months away mm-hmm. from that, and we're already making preparations. You have to do that because
it's pretty wild.
Your stuff's got to be ready.
Yeah, people are going to be demanding
when the weather changes. Yeah, so man, you would not believe all the geraniums we've got growing, and we can't put those in greenhouse 6 because they can't freeze. They all have to go into retail greenhouse when we run out of room for the other things. So,
right.
And we've got two benches. These benches are 80 feet long, but two of them covered in these pots that are going to be filled with the geraniums and the spring dry ferns and the Dracaena spikes and things for people to have colorful pots put in your front. So those are coming along too.
Right.
And so landscape, we're busy right now in landscape. We've got a lot of projects coming on. We got a lot of projects to do, and one project in progress right now. If the weather will cooperate, we can get our sod down. Jeez.
I think it might cooperate a little bit for you next week.
Please. I should hope. We really need it. So things are really hopping at the nursery right now. The FedEx truck's coming in with these plants from all the way around the world every day. And we get those started and growing and ready for people to have in their gardens.
And you were talking about landscapes. You also do the irrigation system that you were also talking about earlier.
Right, irrigation systems. And you really can't rubber stamp a sprinkler system. You have to cater it to your available water and your needs and your soil type and your slope and your plantings and your shade and your sun. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of factors involved in designing a sprinkler system. Right. So,
Yeah, you got to find those factors and make it right.
And we put in these timers you can control from your telephone.
Yeah,
which are really really nice.
So it's on your pocket at all times. If
exactly.
you're at work and you forget, you can always control it.
Exactly, you can control it right there. You say, "Well, it's raining," and let me check on my timer. Well, it's okay. It tapped into the weather service and it shut down. So that's pretty smart.
Yeah,
I found that a little difficult to accept at first.
Right,
until the supplier gave me a little 4-channel timer to fool around with, mm-hmm. and it works really well. It knows when to water, and my plants I didn't have to touch it all summer long. They were watered very well all summer long without me having to do any input.
Right,
so that's kind of cool.
All right, Larry, I think we're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll let people know where you're at,
okay.
where you're located, and we'll close up the show.
Very good.
Although a Republican, Frank Phillips was a man who wisely hedged his bets. And so it was that even though he backed the other candidate, in December 1935, he invited Elliot Roosevelt, the son of President Franklin Roosevelt, to Willow Rock. According to reports, the menu for the day was elk barbecue and beer. Mr. Phillips had already cooked up a plan to make the weekend a bit more special for Roosevelt and for the other guests. Roosevelt wanted to shoot a buffalo, so Frank gave him a rifle and out they went to stalk their prey. Elliot Roosevelt was considered an excellent shot, but as the herd of massive animals roared past, Roosevelt fired once and then twice, but no buffalo hit the ground. Frank's ranch manager, Griff Graham, seized the gun from Roosevelt, took quick aim, and killed the buffalo. Roosevelt was embarrassed to have been such a poor shot in front of friends and his distinguished host, and he took a good-natured ribbing for his shooting skills throughout dinner. When finally Mr. Phillips, roaring with laughter, admitted they had loaded the gun with two blanks. That evening, Mr. Phillips had to leave the ranch for a meeting in Chicago, but Roosevelt remained behind to try again, this time with live ammunition. The next day, Roosevelt wired Frank Phillips the following message: 1,600 pounds and a beauty, and this one only took one shot. The magic of Woolarock, just as it is today. Come see us soon, and welcome home to Woolarock.
When you're looking for windows and doors that are durable, reliable, and energy efficient, look to the ones builders choose most. Anderson 400 series windows and patio doors stand up to Mother Nature, Father Time, and Old Man Winter, too. See the limited warranty for details. Anderson 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overlee's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Here we go.
And we're back with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, here on your radio airwaves. We're actually rounding up the show here. Got about 40 seconds left. Larry, you were talking about how things are going at the nursery. Where can people find you at?
We're at 4605 Nowata Road, which is halfway between Washington Boulevard and Madison on the south side of the road.
Right, you're just right behind Jerry's.
There's an ice cream shop over there, which is kind of fun, and the car wash. So go get your car washed, get it dirty at the nursery.
And get some ice cream at the same time.
Some ice cream on the way home.
The number to call in case people want to call you.
918-333-4091. And whenever you get your plants and put them in the ground, make sure your shovel is sharp.
Yes, sir.
We will see you next week.
We will indeed. Thank you, Larry.
Insure your home, car, boat, health, life, and business all at one place. Phoenix Insurance, 918-336.